This is a command performance. And Marilyn gave the command. She said, I want to study Greek some more.
I was just reading it.
Yes. She was in my classes for Greek classes for over 20 years, so she knows Greek pretty well. And I do teach, I taught Greek reading and research and Hebrew reading and research, which I still do. But the Bible was written in Greek in the New Testament and Hebrew in the Old Testament and a little bit of Aramaic and Chaldean. And when we go into that, we do that in the next class is going to be on the Bible. So, but we're going to study a real God for a real people. A real God for a real people. And from the original language in Greek, it just explodes what's there. It just goes boom. It's like an atomic explosion. English is so weak in bringing out this, we don't have the ability in English to say what it says here. All we can do is explain it. Because it's so great. The religious world tries its best to make a great distance between you and God. God's way up here. You can't touch him. You can't reach him. You have to go through the intermediaries or something. You've got to go through a church. You've got to do something to get to God. And we're going to explode that heresy today in this. Because in the world, we have religious organizations that separate God from his people. And that's not the way God is. In this little picture here, we have a picture of the temple. And that, I guess it's on the other side of that. Oh, here it is. Here's a picture of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a tent. And God said, I want to dwell with my people. To dwell means to pilgrim. It means to build a house. And God said, I want a house, a tent built, and I want to be in the middle of my people. I want to be right there. I'm going to have these trees around it and everything to take care of all of the ceremonies and everything. But all of the ceremonies in the Old Testament, every lamb that was ever killed, every goat, whatever, all represented Jesus. It was him. He is the one that it's showing the lambs being killed. It says like a lamb led to the slaughter. Marilyn raised a lot of lambs in your life, haven't you, Marilyn?
Yeah.
And they love you like their parent. They just trust you with their whole lives. And one day you take them out and slit their throats. Like a lamb led to the slaughter. These lambs, they would take the lambs into an Israeli home and they would look at it and make sure they would just take care of it. They would keep it clean. They would make sure it didn't have any defects because Jesus Christ didn't have any defects, see? And then they would confess their sins to their father in the house. And then the father would go down and he would confess their sins on the head of the lamb. And the lamb's laying there and he's just like this and all of a sudden his throat slipped. It's dead. It's innocent. But all the sins was put upon that lamb. Now, picture, Marilyn drew that picture of the three crosses on Calvary over there. And Jesus was in the middle cross. And in the middle cross was all the sin of the world laid upon him. Now, Jesus isn't somebody that is so far away from you. He is not to condemn you. Jesus does not condemn you. Jesus defends you. The Bible says the only mediator between man and God is Jesus Christ himself. Nobody else. No one else. Zero. Just him. Because God wants to come and be part of your life. He wants to be close to you. In the Old Testament times, they had to go to a priest. And they had to tell the priest their sins and all of this. In the New Testament time, we don't do that. We go straight to the Father. Say, Father. There is a prayer, a model prayer. It says, Father, our Heavenly Father. You know, we talked about the Father. Your prayers that you pray is to the Father. Now, there aren't three gods either. There is not God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. How many are you? Now, I'm going to draw a little picture up here for you. And here is man, and is God also. In Genesis 1:26, it said, let us man make man in our image. Did it not? Genesis 1:26. He said, let us make man in our shadow casting likeness. Our shadow casting likeness like the Holy Spirit. Shadow casting likeness. Let's make man in our blood flowing likeness. That's like the Son. Okay? The Son is flesh and blood, isn't he? Is Jesus flesh and blood? He was flesh and blood. He couldn't shed his blood for us unless he was shed flesh and blood. And that's what we're going to get into later. So we have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. They're not three gods. They're one God. Hear, O Israel, our God, our Lord, is one God. Ahad Elohim. Okay? That's what it says. Now, the Father, in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image. And then it says, in our image, God made man. He made man in his spiritual image. That's like the Son, or like the Holy Spirit. Okay, that is our, what we might call our spirit. And then we have our image, physical image, that we look at and see each other. That's like the Son. Okay? That's our body. Our sarx in Hebrew, and our basar in Hebrew, and sarx in English, or Greek. It is flesh. And then the Father. It says, let us make man in our image, and let him be in our spiritual image, and our blood flowing likeness, and let him have dominion. Dominion. Dominion means rule. It means authority. And that is the Father. Okay? And that is our soul. Man is made up of three entities. Soul, spirit, and body. Now when we wear out and die, our bodies, they go put it in a casket or burn it up and put it in a jar or whatever we do with it. At that part, cease to exist as a living entity. But your spirit and your soul never cease to exist, ever. Once you're created. And when does life begin? When you're born? No. Your life begins when you're conceived and the sperm and the egg come together, and that makes life. Hayah in Hebrew. Zoe in Greek. It's life. And you become a living being. When you're born, you're 9 months old. I was 9 and a half when I was born. I was supposed to have been born in December. And I was born in January. But I was 9 and a half months old when I was born. You were an entity. You were going to be with God if you were aborted, if you died, whatever. You're destined to be with God, period. Because Jesus Christ died for all man's sins, especially those that believe, and he covers all of the little babies. And all of those that never come to the age of accountability, those are with God, and they're lives. They're living beings. Now, angels are the same way. We've got spirits that are dual in nature. A spirit has a soul, and that is a life. That is a where they live, okay? And they have spirit, which is life. But angels have spirit. They have material, what we might call, they're closed. They have bodies. The bodies go between dimensions. And we are stuck here in this dimension that we live in. Spirits never die. Angels never die. And we don't become angels and spirits when we die. We either go to be with God when we die, if you believe in Him. If you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, when you die, you go to be with God. You go to the heaven now, today. You get to go to heaven. Your body goes in the grave or wherever the repository is. A jar on somebody's mantle or whatever. But you're eternal. You will never cease being. Now let's go to John 1 and 1, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, period. In Genesis 1 and 1, many people correlate Genesis 1 and 1 and John 1 and 1, but they're really about a total different period of time. In Genesis 1 and 1, it is back here in eternity past. See the eternity? We live over here. You come all the way down through. Here was the age of Adam, and here was Noah, and here was Abraham over here. Here's Jesus born, died on the cross of Calvary, and here we are, way over here. Okay? But now, back in eternity past, before man was ever created, before time began, God created heaven and the earth. It says in Hebrew, Barashith bara et hashemayim we et ha'aretz. That's Hebrew. It said in one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens first. He created the heavens. All the universe, as you look out, how do you go up there and you look through the telescopes in the sky and you look at all the different galaxies and everything out there. God created all of that. And then it says, we et ha'aretz. We, conjunction, page 253. Ha, definite article, page 206. Eretz, 76. In the lexicons, okay? You can look that all up in Brown, Driver, and Bruce. The heavens. And then He created the earth and put it exactly in the right place to where it would sustain life and put man on it. But man wasn't on it yet. There was animals on it, there was vegetation on it and everything. And then it says in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, Satan comes into the picture. And this is before man was ever created. And he destroys the earth. And he tries to overthrow the dominion and the kingdom of God, but it didn't work. And then God, and by the way, Satan was the caretaker of all the earth and the caretaker of all the material realm. We've got Lucifer, which was over the material creation. We've got Michael over the spiritual creation, and Gabriel over the information, that which the information is how we learn. You know, there are seances, people they go and they talk to people. Lincoln and his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, they had a lot of seances. Ronald Reagan's wife had a lot of seances. They talk to dead people, they think. But they're talking to fallen spirits. They're talking to demons, and demons can imitate anybody and tell you anything that ever happened because they don't get dementia. They don't get Alzheimer's, and they remember everything that happened from all the way in eternity past in the space and time. Now we're going to go into the New Testament in a different period of time. The heavens and the earth were created back in eternity. But there was a period of time when only God existed. Nothing was created. Nothing. There was no angels. There were no spirits. There was nothing but God. Okay? And that's John 1 and 1. And it says here, in arche ein ho logos, kai ho logos, ein proton theon, kai ho logos, ein theos. Now, in English, that is, with a great explanation, in is a preposition. Just our Greek English preposition came from the Greek preposition, in and in. Okay? The Hebrew equivalent is bait, faith, beat. Barashit. Right on the first word in the Hebrew Bible, Barashit says in. And here it says in. Barashit, bait is on page 88 in Brown, Driver, Briggs, and in is on page 137 in the analytical Greek lexicon. Okay? In arche. Now, arche is nominative, singular, feminine. And all this means a whole lot. Now you say, well, he's just showing off Greek and grammar. No, I'm not. I'm showing you the Bible. It's real important. Barashith is in one of the beginnings. But it says in our case, it is in the beginning, period. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. In eternity past, we're going to go back when only God existed. Nothing's been created. Nothing but God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in one, in unity. Ahad, Hebrew, one. In arche, in beginning. Nothing else. Ain. Ain is third person singular and perfect indicative active verb. And it means here we got a masculine, so God is masculine. So it's He kept on existing. He kept on being. In beginning, God kept on being. Nothing was ever there, but He existed from eternity past. A lot of people said, where did God come from? You ever hear that thing? Where did God come from? Where did God come from? He's always there. He's the beginning of all things. In our case, He kept on being whole logos. Now, it says in John 1 and 1, in almost every translation, it says the Word. It said, in the beginning kept on being, or in the beginning was the Word, I think is what it is in King James. In the beginning kept on being ho logos. But ho logos is it is what we call a Hebraism. And a Hebraism means something is brought from the Hebrew language into another language that means something different than what it says there. Okay? Now, if you've ever been acquainted with any Jewish people, they can read their Bible, the Hebrew Bible, and when they come to the name Jehovah, this little word right here, they do not say that word, because first of all, we don't know how to say it. I say the word Jehovah because King James said it that way, but that's not what it is. But it means something. Jehovah means He who shall become. He who shall become. That's what Jehovah means, He who shall become. Now let's look at this. Now remember, God said that He wanted to dwell with His people, didn't He? He wants to be with you. He wants to be part of your life. And He said, I want to dwell with my people like He did there in the temple, here in the temple and there in the tabernacle. In beginning kept on being ho logos. The translation should really say the Jehovah, the one who shall become. And the one who shall become is not the Father. Did you know that? Not the Father. Did the Father become flesh? No. Did the Holy Spirit become flesh? No. The Son became flesh, and His Son became flesh because He wanted to be part of your life and He wanted to redeem you. In the Hebrew, He says He's our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. That's the whole book of Ruth is written so we'd understand that theology of how God would become flesh and become one of us to redeem us and buy us. Okay? In beginning kept on being the Jehovah. Okay? And then it says, Kai ho logos ein proton theon. Hi, that's a conjunction, page 208. Ho logos. That's a definite article there, and it's nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. In Greek, there's nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. There's eight cases. In English, there's subject and object. We don't compare to that language. That's why God wrote the Bible in this language, because it can't be misinterpreted. It's solid forever. And the Word, and the Jehovah, now, we translate it Jehovah because that's what it, that Hebraism, they would say Ha the Bar in Hebrew, Ha the Bar, which is this word, Ha the Bar. Ha the Bar. Ha the Bar means a word, but it also means Hashem, the name. And we're talking about the name of God, who God is. in the beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah kept on being Christos Theon. He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Okay? Can you take Jesus out of the Godhead? Can you take Jehovah out of the Godhead and there still be a God? No. Simple as that. And the Jehovah kept on being toward the God, in the circle part of the Godhead, because, Chi here now becomes a because. Still on page 208, you can look that up. Because the Jehovah kept on being God. Now we're going to jump ahead into another verse. John 1:14. Marilyn, would you quote that for me? John 1:14 in Greek. Just spit it out.
Huh?
Yeah. Kai ho logos starks.
Star.
Agenito.
Agenito ka a.
Kano sein. Heman.
Yen.
Kai ethe sometha. Tain doxon. Altu doxon hos monogenos. Para pateros pleros krete. Kai Alethios. Okay? And the Word. Here we have again. And the Word. And by the way, you know the Jehovah's Witness brethren, they say that Jesus was a created God. Go back to John 1 and 1. And the Jehovah kept on being God. Now, Logos, it ends with Omicron Sigma, and Theos ends with Omicron Sigma, but up here, Theos ended with Omicron Nu. That's accusative singular masculine. Now, here, this is what you call a predicate nominative. This is a grammar lesson too, but this is Bible, okay? And the Jehovah, Hologos, that's nominative singular masculine, definite article, nominative singular masculine, second declension noun there, it kept on being. This is an equal sign now. Aim mathematically becomes an equal sign. Everything here, ho logos, ein, theos, everything here is equal to that over there. In other words, the same place in number, gender, and case. Okay? Jesus, Jehovah, is God. Period. It doesn't say a God. He is God. Period. He's God. John 1:14 now tells the rest of the story of this little lesson. Kai Hologos Sarks Aganito, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh, Sarks, flesh, he became. And the word he became there is third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle voice. Now that's complicated, but it isn't. Third person singular, he. Okay? He, second aorist. Second aorist means that it's punctiliar in action. It means it's knife blade action. It happened once. One time, God became flesh. One time. And not only that, but it's in the middle voice. What does the middle voice say? Marilyn, what's the middle voice say? Sharon? You do it for yourself. God brought himself into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ through a little girl named Mary. Mary had to be saved just like everybody else. But God used her as a vessel to bring his son into the world. And the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became for himself. And he pitched his tent. He tabernacled us. He pilgrimed with us. He pilgrimed with us. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. He pilgrimed with us. Among us, and it says, John is speaking here now, when you're studying the Bible, the Bible isn't a Ouija board, it isn't some good luck charm. The Bible is a history book. It is an inspired history book. And it says here, now, John's speaking. Always, who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject? That's how you interpret the Bible. Okay? You don't need somebody else to tell you what it says. You can do that yourself. And John says, and we beheld, we there, first person plural, we beheld, first aorist indicative, active, we or middle voice, we beheld for ourselves the Son of God, God the Son, Jehovah, as He walked. The reason why John wrote this book is because some people didn't believe that Jesus was real flesh. Some people didn't believe that He was really God. They call them the Gnostics of the day. And we have the Jehovah Witnesses today and the Mormons and all this stuff that don't really believe in this, what we have written here in the Bible. And He pitched His tent among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory means the Creator. The Creator. The glory of Him. The glory belonging to Him, the glory as the only begotten monogenes. Monogenes. Mono means one. And genes means the only generated one like Him. We get the word Genesis from that word. The only generated. The only generated from beside para, patros, from beside the Father. Pleros, or pleres, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Aletheos. Aletheos means no shadows. It means you can't hide something, from someone. Aletheos means no shadows. That absolutely He was totally inspected from all angles, and He was the Son of God. And then one more verse in this little message here is John 1:18. You got that there, Marilyn? How does that word, that Greek, start off there? 1:18.
1:18?
Yes. How does that start off?
Theon.
Theon udes, urakin, popote, monogenes, theos, ho, hon, aston, copon, tu, patros, ekinos, exesato. And it says God. No one God. Now, God there is accused of singular masculine. And it's talking about the actions going to God. No one has seen God. No, never. But the only begotten God, that's Jesus, the only begotten God, the one being, and that word on there, that is nominative, singular, masculine, present, participle, active. And that comes from Amy also. The one being in the bosom. You know, Jesus Christ was never totally separated from being God. When He was dying on the cross of Calvary, the Father tasted death, the Holy Spirit tasted death, because they weren't totally separated, but the whole sin of all mankind was upon Him. Monogenes, theos, ho-on, ace, ton, copon. The one being in the bosom of, in the, what we might call, the anatomy of God. You could do a message on the anatomy of God there, and that word, one word, copon there. He was always in the anatomy of God, the Father, and that one, ekinos, that one, that's a demonstrative pronoun, nominative singular masculine, demonstrative pronoun, and that one, ex exato, third person singular, first aorist, indicative middle voice. And that one led Himself out of eternity into space and time to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to die for you on the cross of Calvary. That's the only reason. Jesus was born to die. When we bring a child into this world, we don't want him to die, do we? We don't want him to die. But when God brought His Son into the world, the Son brought Himself into the world, the Father sent Him, and the Holy Spirit all put Him in this world to die. His object was to die. As Isaiah 53 says, He was a lamb led as a sheep to slaughter. Our Father, we send this message out for you, for your words, to honor and glorify your Son, that gave his life for us to save our souls, and to be with us always in this life and the future to come. Father, please use this message wherever it goes in the world for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name.